Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
On our morning show today from WRCO, we're thinking spring. River Valley Community Gardens is our subject, and some good friends that have been on with us a couple of times over the course of the last year. Rose Ellen Schneider, who is the president of the River Valley Community Gardens. We have Doug Rouse here, vice president, and Marlon Tafts, who's on the board, one of the directors here to talk about all the great things coming up. Rose Ellen, we'll start with you. This is certainly a kind of a refreshing morning show. Good to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you, Phil, and happy spring. Today's first day of spring. Can you believe it?
No, I can't believe it.
Wow, yeah.
Especially with that forecast that I just read.
I know. Well, it's going out like a lion, I guess. So March will go out like a lion, but that's all right. We need the moisture.
Not uncommon for this time of year.
Nope. We're in Wisconsin, after all.
Has the warmer temperatures, has that got anybody thinking about tilling and digging yet or not?
I had one person call me the other day and say, can I get in the garden? You know, is the water on yet? And I'm going, oh my gosh, it's the middle of March. We're going to have snow and we're going to have freezing temperatures. And I said, no, it won't be on. And well, I checked with Doug and he said about mid-April, they put the meter on. And he said, well, I want to get in. I want to plant some lettuce in this. And I said, well, you know, you're going to have to cover it because it's going to freeze. And he said, well, I want to experiment with something. And I said, well, go ahead and experiment, but you're going to have to carry the water in. So I'll have to wait till April for that.
But, we'll get the natural precipitation on top of it, won't we?
Yep.
Sure.
Yep.
Well, maybe, Rose Ellen, you could kind of explain again for people that may be hearing about it for the first time what River Valley Community Gardens are all about.
Okay. Well, River Valley Community Gardens is located in the 900 block of North Westmore, which is just north of the high school or south of the Round Barn behind Ringbrook Brothers Classic Auto. And we started on this site in 2016, and we have plots available for people to rent. There's 10 by 10 plots and 10 by 20s and 20 by 20s. So there's a variety of plots for people, whatever their skill level is or whatever size they want to try. And we also have programs for the kids with the Busy Bees and the Junior Gardeners, and those the Junior Gardeners are free, and the Busy Bees are for the little ones. So that goes all summer. So it's like a summer rec program for them, but they get to plant their own gardens. So, and then we also raise food for the food pantry and donate back to the public and to the Meadows Assisted Living. So we have a wide range of things that we do. We also offer educational type programs throughout the year. If we can get ourselves organized to do that, it gets pretty busy in summers. And sometimes we're so busy doing other things that we don't get those educational programs off the ground. But we try to do something to educate the public and encourage people to garden, because it seems like it's so much tastier when you can grow your own garden produce, and you can go out and you can pick it and you can eat it right off the vine or cook it that night for supper. And it's just, it seems like it's so much better to eat. And of course, you know what you've put on it then. You don't have chemicals that might have been put on it to preserve it or chemicals that have been put on it to ripen. So you know what you're eating.
It's a thing of pride, isn't it?
When you
eat something you grow.
Yeah. And the other thing that happens with a community garden is you develop community. We're pretty much friends with everybody that's gardened out there. You develop new friends. You get new recipes. People are always talking about how they cook their radishes or how they... I didn't even know you could cook radishes, but come to find out you can. Or eating sweet potato tops. That was one thing I learned one day. You can eat the leaves off of sweet potatoes, and they do that over in Asia all the time. And I didn't know that. So, you know, when you've got people of different cultures and different areas and different traditions working, gardening with you, you learn a lot of stuff. So
I'm sure you do. Fun. Doug, you probably, after all these years, you probably still learn something once in a while, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Every year it's something new. I think last year this time I talked a little bit about carrots because I've always struggled to grow carrots. And I think I vowed that last summer I was going to finally succeed. And I'm going to say I had mixed success. We did produce about, I think it was around 60 pounds of carrots that went to the food pantry. So that was good. But we're going to do even better this year. And the new thing that I've never grown before is rutabagas. I thought, you know, I'm just going to see. I hardly know what a rutabaga is. I've eaten them a few times in my life. But I'm going to try to grow rutabagas this year. And so that should be fun. And so I just like to try things. A couple of years ago, I tried parsnips for the first time. And actually, speaking of interactions with the community, having never grown parsnips, I wasn't sure how I would eat them. And actually, Rose Ellen was one of the people who said, well, if you slice them up and put them in a skillet with some butter, they can be pretty darn good. And she was actually right about that.
Everything's better with butter on it, isn't it?
That's true. That did help. but anyway, so, yeah, there's always interesting things that, you know, I learned. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to take all your time, but this year one of the things that I'm going to try is a paper pot system for planting. So I always start some transplants under lights or in the window. And this year I'm going to use what are called paper pots. So you plant into a system where the little pot is actually made of paper, and then you plant that little paper pot with your transplant in it, and the paper pot dissolves, decomposes in the soil. And so it's a very efficient way to do transplants without having plastic trays and so forth. So I'm going to try that this year. That's a new thing for me.
Yeah, that would be a little bit less disruptive for the plant, you know, maybe it would survive easier.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. That's absolutely right. One of the nice things about that is that you're not disturbing the roots. Ordinarily, there's something called transplant shock when you do transplants, because you pull them out of their plastic tray and then you put them in the ground and that disturbs them. These should take off once they get transplanted pretty fast, because there isn't nearly that amount of transplant shock that we talk about.
Sweet potato tops, who knew? I mean, sometimes I'd be afraid to eat something thinking it might be toxic or whatever, but evidently it works, huh?
Yeah, I've eaten sweet potato tops now myself, because what happened was I had some visitors actually from China, and they eat sweet potato tops. They stir fry them and so forth, and they said, boy, it'd be so nice if we could get some. And I said, we have some in the garden. And so they came out and picked a bunch. And actually, they picked a whole bag full. I guess when you fry them, they kind of, you know, melt down a bit. And said, yeah, they're really good. So I've tried them since. And yeah, they're definitely edible.
That's always good to know. Yeah. So what was the response like last year? Did you have a successful year with the River Valley Community Gardens?
We did. Actually, I think it was a particularly good year overall. The dry season that we had, you know, you would have thought could have been a problem, but we have good irrigation, I would say, certainly adequate for all of our gardeners, and people were very good about using the water. And so with the dryness, but with the water, the crops grew really well. And I think most people had a very successful garden. And because of the dryness, we had less disease. So the plants tended to be healthier last year. And so I think people were pretty happy about that.
Flavor-wise, do they taste different depending on the year, the growing year?
I think things vary by season. But it's all good.
Right.
I'll say it that way.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I'm thinking like with fruit, sometimes it's different if you've had like a dry year or a wet year, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that is true, that you get some differences just in the moisture content maybe, or maybe how the plant's taking up nutrients that affects the flavor a bit. And, things can taste different and maybe better depending on the season.
Yep. River Valley Community Garden is kind of a one-stop shop, though, because you can go, you can plant, you've got mulch there, you've got pretty much everything you need.
Yes, that's something we'd like to emphasize, is that we provide the land, we provide the water, We provide all kinds of expertise from other gardeners if you want that. We provide tools. We have quite a variety of hand tools, hoes and rakes and so forth. We provide a rototiller, and we maintain the area around the plots. We mow the, we have a nice grass margins around the plots, so we mow all that, so it's very nice. And we provide the mulch. That's part of the fee, is you get mulch for your garden. So, and we provide actually fertilizer even. So really we do, I think we do a lot for our gardeners. It's a really nice garden in that sense, that we almost, I would say anything that a gardener would need, even free seeds in some cases, yeah. We have seeds
or
that,
transplants.
Or transplants actually. So it's really nice. If you're a gardener who wants to get started or an experienced gardener, we have it all.
Is it first come, first serve in terms of the rototiller and things like that?
So. Yeah, it is. Yeah, and so there are occasions when, you know, maybe you'd have to wait a little bit to use the rototiller because somebody's using it. But the plots are small enough that ordinarily it only takes a few minutes to work up your plot so the next person can get to it pretty quickly. I don't know that I've ever seen anybody actually have to go away and come back. They just have to wait a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
And everybody works together pretty well, I think.
Yeah,
they?
Yeah, we do. I think we're a very congenial group, I
oh,
must
yes.
say.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I spend a lot of time just wandering around looking at other gardens and then talking to other gardeners. In fact, all the time I'm looking to see, oh, somebody just arrived. I think I'll go see what they're up to, and it's kind of fun. And, you know, I learn things all the time, just little tricks. You know, here's how this person's doing it, and I think, wow, I wouldn't have thought to do it that way, but that looks like it works.
Uh-huh. Pick somebody else's brain.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah.
Free info. We had a really neat thing happen last year, Phil. A couple of gardeners that are, they're in the same plot together, married couple, they put up cattle trellises and they grew watermelons on those cattle trellises. And so when it was watermelon season, time to harvest, or they were starting to develop, there'd be watermelons hanging down through the cattle panel holes, and or they'd be laying on top. And some, there were a couple of them that were stuck between the wires. So it was really interesting to go over there and to look at the experiment that they had done. And they had quite a lot of success. I think they also had grown squash on one end of it, too. So that was quite interesting. And I think the watermelons that weren't between the wires, that weren't squished, I think they did really well with those. They were a nice size, and they looked really healthy. So I didn't ask them. I don't remember asking them how they tasted, but they had quite a bit of success with that cattle panel trellis.
Yeah, that was a neat garden.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to taste any of the watermelons. I think that those went pretty fast. But they did have also butternut squash in the fall, winter squash, and they had one or two that they happened to pass my way, and they were excellent.
That's so awesome. Yeah. So they laid on top of the cattle panel?
Or hung through.
Hung through, I see.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I have to confess, I was a little skeptical that, given the size of watermelons and the size of, for example, butternut squash, just hanging there, aren't they going to break and fall off and so forth? But they didn't, actually.
Yeah, you'd think the weight would make them fall off.
Yeah, but it worked.
Huh, interesting. Yeah, you learn something every day, right?
Yeah.
Let's bring Marlon Tafts in as well. Marlon, I think one of the, probably the most satisfying things is your work with the food pantry through River Valley Community Gardens, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Phil. And working in the gardens, being able to grow and supply the community food pantry, it's really one of the most exciting parts of the year. It's at harvest time, so people are getting excited about all the food they're producing, not only for themselves, but a little bit of overproduction. Doug plants a huge garden for the community food pantry, so that's what we rely on for a big part of our supply of the community food pantry. But we also have gardeners, as you can imagine, everybody's gardens come to fruition at the same time when it's time to, so we tend to have a surplus sometimes at certain times. So we've got some avenues that we can utilize, which the community food pantry is first. We supply vegetables for the memory care facility in Spring Green. We also have a free kiosk for people to come to as well, too. So any surpluses can be dealt in a variety of ways that we have as well, too. But it's just a fun part of the year. We're trying to minimize the amount of waste we create and stuff like that. So we're always looking for new avenues to distribute produce to make sure that nothing gets wasted.
I bet that's really fun when you take produce to one of the elderly facilities and see the reactions.
Oh, absolutely. A lot of them can recall times when they had gardens as well, too. And not only seeing the produce, but being able to taste the produce as well, too, brings back good memories for them. We've heard those sorts of comments. So it's been a very rewarding part of that part with that there.
They mentioned that you're kind of the harvesting expert then.
So. I don't know about the expert. just when time to coordinate that, and it's an exciting time, it really is. We try and track the poundage from year to year, which Roselle will share with you, just so how much we do produce, so we can let the public know that we are sharing with other entities in the community and the value of that as well, too.
What is your area of expertise in your plot?
My plot is trying to keep the weeds out.
So. Marlon tried something last year. I think it was the first year. He shredded paper and used paper, the shredded paper, as a mulch.
Right.
And that really worked well. It looked different when you walk into the garden and you see this white stuff, you know, around these plants when you're used to a garden, a dark, you know, mulch. But he used that and it was quite successful, I believe.
Yeah, it worked as really a good weed barrier, if you will, because you get that on there and you get some moisture on that. It tends to dry like paper mache almost. So it worked as a good weed barrier. I was trying to get more of it from different entities around the area, but I wasn't successful in that. But it was just kind of an experiment. It worked well, and I may try it again sometime.
That or like hay and straw, does that work pretty well?
Certainly. We supply the mulch with the marsh hay that we were able to get. People use straw. We've got manure that we have can use as a fertilizer base as well, too. So we've got a lot of options as far as what we can utilize for fertilizer, or people can utilize for fertilizer as well, too.
Well, and it's really conducive to making compost when you're weeding your garden, and you can throw those weeds either into a compost pile, which we have, or you put them back on your plot and use that as weeds. And a lot of people just like to get those weeds all cleaned up and get them out of there. And I keep telling them, no, throw them back on your mulch. They'll disintegrate. They'll die and go back into the soil. So that's the other thing that we have is a pile for weeds. And we like to encourage people to, of course, not throw their seed heads in there, but anything prior to when they make seeds, they can throw those into the compost bin or just leave them on their plot. So
recycle and reuse.
Recycle,
right?
And reuse. Yep, it's going to disintegrate and go back into soil anyway. So we got a big pile of compost from a year ago that it looks really great. So we start dishing that out to gardeners too. So, yeah.
I don't know who the manure expert is in here, but what's the best type of manure to use?
Oh, dear. Well, the manure we have is cow manure. Horse mm-hmm. manure works well. Of course, you want to have it well aged, you know, so that it's decomposed. Actually, our pile has been there for actually almost 2 years now, yeah. So it's very well decomposed, which actually is really good. It's almost like it becomes an organic soil.
Oh, sure.
Ordinarily we look for cow manure or horse manure, and we've used multiple sources. We've had gardeners ask us about whether, if it's coming from a conventional farm that might be using pesticides, could there be pesticide residues in the manure and so forth? And so we have looked into that, and the answer is no. We're certain that our manure is pristine.
Sure.
It's interesting to think about pristine
manure. I know it is. I've never heard that used before, but there's always a first time.
Yeah.
Well, Roselle, let's talk about some of the poundage and how it went last year for River Valley.
Yeah, I was really surprised. Thanks to Marlon last year, he was very fastidious about weighing the vegetables. So we donated 1,600 122 pounds of vegetables to the food pantry.
Wow.
And that started, what, July you guys started giving to the food pantry? Yeah. June or July? And then to the Meadows Assisted Living Care, we donated 216 pounds of vegetables. A lot of this was tomatoes, because that's Doug grows tomatoes, and there's a lot of tomatoes produced there. But in the kiosk that's on Winston or Westmore Street, we put in 265 pounds of produce. And that was just what Marlon weighed from taken from the food pantry. That wasn't what the Busy Bees donated from their plots, or I or one of the other gardeners put in there that were extra from our plots. So we have no idea what the total poundage was for the kiosk. But the total came to 2,103 pounds of produce donated back to the community from the community garden and the food pantry plots. So that's almost a ton of produce going back to the community. Mm-hmm. So that was amazing to me. I didn't bring the poundage for each vegetable, but we donated potatoes and onions and cabbage and cauliflower and green beans were in there. And I know somebody put kale in there, and there was lettuce in there.
Onions.
Don't forget zucchini.
And zucchini, yes.
Yep. Cucumbers.
Yes, yes. Yeah, cucumbers.
Green beans. Did I say green beans?
Green beans.
I don't know if there was any winter squash in there or not.
Sweet potatoes.
Yeah, sweet potatoes was in there.
Yeah. And the carrots.
Yep. Somebody donated some apples, just brought them over and put them in there. So there was apples available. I was thinning out my garden plot and some of the flowers at the community garden, and so I dug those up and bagged them and put them out in front of the kiosk and would post on Facebook, there's such and such iris, and I can't remember what all it was, sedum and whatever there at the in front of the kiosk, and flower gardeners came running. You know, you'd go back in an hour after I would post on Facebook and things would be gone. They would be cleaned out. So, yeah, it's a pretty popular place, that kiosk.
Yeah, it must be. And you talk about giving back to the community. I can't think of a better way.
Yeah. We're very grateful to our community. They've been a big support to us. And we want people to have healthy food. And that's one way that we can do it, is to donate it back.
Talk about the area that River Valley Gardens serves, Marlon.
Yeah, it probably encompasses the whole River Valley area. So we've got gardeners from all over, be it Plain, Arena, Lone Rock. So we're looking at anybody that wants to garden. There's no specific area that you need to come from, or you're just not relegated to the Spring Green area. We certainly like welcome gardeners from anywhere that would like to come in and garden and be a participant in the community gardens there.
I can think of a great way for, let's say, a grandparent to take the grandkids and kind of do something together.
Oh, you're exactly right. And you see that in our program with the Busy Bees, where you've got myself being a grandparent. I have two grandchildren that participated in it last year, so it's kind of fun to get them and watch them manage their own plots and stuff like that. But no, we've got a good contingency of parents and grandparents that join their kids to garden, not only in the Busy Bees, but just in the general gardening process when they're out there.
Do you have some social gatherings from time to time?
We do have some social gatherings. We a couple of barbecue kind of potlucks, one associated with the Busy Bees at the end of the season, and then one other one for sure with the garden. Then actually in the fall, we do have a meeting, which is specifically, I mean, all of our board meetings are open to the gardeners, but one that we identify as specifically open for gardeners to come. So, yeah, we try to be active in that context of being, socially connected. The other thing that is, it's not really a social activity, but yet it kind of is our fundraising. We always do several brat fries. I think Rose Ellen will talk a little bit more about that. But the brat fries get a bunch of us together on any given brat fry to work the brat fry. And so that's kind of nice because, we get to visit and interact in a social context really there. And I should mention that we are extremely thankful for the community supporting us through the Brat Fries. It's wonderful when we get people showing up to buy a brat that say, well, we wanted to support the River Valley Community Garden, so we thought we'd come over and buy a brat. That's a really nice thing.
And you have businesses that support you too, don't you?
We do, yes.
Yep, that's a great thing. Applications, how can people get one, Rose Helen?
Well, right now we've got a bunch of applications in the red info box that's right on Westmore Street. So they're all printed, ready to go. All you have to do is go drive down Westmore Street and open that red info box, and they're in a little plastic sleeve there, and you can just take one out and then mail it into us. Or you can request them online at info@rvacg.org, or you can text us that you want one and send your email address so we can mail it out to you. And that phone number is 608-588-6040. And it's also on the website at rvacg.org. So there's a number of ways that you can get them. So, and as long as we're talking about applications, you might want to know what you want to pay for that. So 10 by 10 plot is $20. And a 10 by 20 plot is $40, and a 20 by 20 plot is $60. And that includes a bale of straw per 10 by 10. So if you've got a 20 by 20 plot, you get 4 bales of straw, correct?
Yep.
My
as
math
mulch.
Is correct.
That's right.
Mulch. Yep.
Yep.
It's used
that's,
as
yep.
mulch.
That's very generous.
Yep, that's on site and right there for your use.
And the water is, we have spigots that go to about every 3 or 4 plots, and we provide the hose. If you want to bring your own hose, you can, but we do provide the hose. We haven't had any trouble with sharing that hose with neighbors there. It includes the chicken fertilizer that we provide and the other organic fertilizer that we provide. And that includes the use of the tiller and any of the tools that we have. If you don't have your own tools and want to use ours, that's there. And am I missing anything else in there?
No, I think that's probably about it. Yeah.
We've found that a lot of people really say that we've got really the best resources for gardeners and provide the most. So I guess we can be proud of that. The facility is just amazing. If you go on our website, the main picture on the first page of our website is a drone shot of the community garden. And we're on about 2.5 acres of land. And this drone shot is just amazing. Every time I look at it, I'm just amazed at how far we've come. This will be our 9th year. And when we started out in 2016, we had about 20 plots. And now we've got 79 numbered. But we've got more than that in production because we can divide the 20 by 20s. So it's just amazing to see that. So, if you want to grab an application, they're already printed for you right there in that red info box on Westmore Street. So grab one of those or contact us.
Yeah. I'm thinking this is, I don't know about other towns that do this, but this is unique, I would think, with everything you offer, isn't it?
Different community gardens offer different things. It's becoming more popular. Mount Horeb has one. Dodgeville had one. I don't know if they still do. Reedsburg's got one. Baraboo's got one.
Mazomani
has got one. I can't remember. Can't forget our friends at Mazomani. They've been a great help. I don't know about Cross Plains. Mm-hmm. Viroqua's got one at a church up here. I think that's about all that I've heard. I know Fenimore was starting one. I don't know if it went anywhere. It was just a little plot, and you brought your own water, and there wasn't much, just the land was there. So I don't know if that's continued or not. But, yeah, that would be a great...
61 in Boscobel. Stop by and enjoy.
At participating restaurants, prices may vary. Tax extra.
The Riverdale Community's Education Foundation invites one and all to the bowling tournament fundraiser held Sunday, March 24th at Boscobel Bowl and Banquet. It's an 8-pin tap individual tournament, shifts at 11 and 1:30. The cost, $15 to bowl 3 games, door prizes and 50-50 raffle. Pre-register by calling Greg Kinney at 537-2359 or Boscobel Bowl at 375-2200. You can also register the day of the event. Come and have some fun at the Riverdale Community's Education Foundation Bowling Tournament Fundraiser, Sunday, March 24th at Boscobel Bowl and Banquet.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
Today's 6:30 update is sponsored by Bailey Paint and Decorating, your full-line Benjamin Moore dealer with quality paint and expert advice, and by Chet's Feed, Seed, and Such, the friendly feed store. Lots of sunshine today, but it will be cool. A high of 35 later with northwest winds at 10 to 20 and a low of 17 tonight. Right now in Richland Center, it is the overnight low of 29 degrees.
With warm temperatures, birds singing, and muddy paws around the corner, we have you covered at Chet's. Hello, friends. Ellie here. Where can you buy a 50-pound bag of black oil sunflower seeds for $21.99? How about a hint? It's also the place where that bag will be loaded into your car before you can even finish your shopping. Or where you can purchase a 50-pound bag of Chet's premium bird seed or any 50-pound bag of seed and have it split into 2 bags so that when you get home, you can carry them comfortably. Our team at Chet's Feed and Seed and Such are here to serve you. Our friends are our top priority, and we strive to make every purchase the best with less stress for the customer. We appreciate each and every one of our friends because without you, there wouldn't be us. Stop down today at 880 North Orange Street, Richland Center, and see our new store with an open storefront.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I am Phil Nee, and here is what you need to know. A Wisconsin pastor is among Americans rescued from Haiti. Reverend Steve Swenson of Providence Reformed Baptist Church in Rice Lake had been working with a nonprofit in Port-au-Prince since late February. By last weekend, with gangs in control, he was running out of options. On Saturday, he and 13 others were airlifted off of a soccer field in a helicopter chartered by Florida Congressman Corey Mills. Swenson is back in Wisconsin and hopes other Caribbean nations can broker a deal to bring help to Haiti. A project to widen a stretch of I-94 in Milwaukee could face a legal challenge. Last week, the Federal Highway Administration approved Wisconsin DOT's plan to expand the 3.5-mile corridor to 8 lanes. Cassie Steiner is a campaign coordinator for Sierra Club Wisconsin. She said across the country, adding lanes has worsened congestion and added to air pollution and carbon emissions. Steiner says the DOT final environmental impact statement, which runs to thousands of pages, is still being analyzed. Opponents of the nearly $1.5 billion project want to see it kept to 6 lanes. They're holding a press conference today. There are problems for the recall effort against Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, and during a Tuesday WIS politics luncheon in Madison, Voss was not holding back in his remarks about recall organizers, calling them morons and stupid. Voss's comments came as the Racine County DA says the office is investigating complaints from people who say their signatures were forged on recall documents. Organizers submitted more than 10,000 signatures, but Elections Commission staff found they failed to get enough from the district Voss was elected to when the recall started. Kyle Rittenhouse is making the college speaking tour these days.
Rittenhouse became a Second Amendment celebrity following his acquittal for fatally shooting 2 men in the August 2020 riots in Kenosha. The Illinois teen used an illegally obtained AR-15 to kill Joseph Rosenbaum and Anthony Huber and wound a third man during the unrest following the police shooting of Jacob Blake. The conservative group Turning Point USA is sponsoring the Rittenhouse Recap. According to the group's website, the now 21-year-old will speak about the importance of the Second Amendment and the lies of BLM, the Black Lives Matter movement. He'll speak tonight at the University of Memphis and has upcoming events at Western Kentucky and Kent State. Campus officials have released statements pointing out that they cannot cancel the events. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Nearly $93,000 will be transferred from the general fund to other accounts in the 2023 Richland County budget to cover deficiencies following approval at last night's County Board of Supervisors meeting. The accounts receiving funds are the Community Development Block Grant, $5,864, UW Richland Outlay, $19,045, and the Richland County Nutrition Program, $13,858. It was reported that this was due to more meals being ordered than budgeted for. The campus food service, $53,322. This is due to the closure of the cafeteria in July. The Richland County Fair, $623. Dog licenses, $87. Any balances remaining in these accounts after the transfer and after the 23 audit has been completed will be returned to the general fund. Barbara Scott, Director of Management Information Systems, advised the board that the county requires wireless access points to conduct daily business. These access points allow network connectivity in the courthouse and other buildings throughout the county. These access points must be maintained to protect the network's integrity and to continue operations. This is an anticipated cost and has been budgeted for appropriately. Scott also reported that in July of 23, a request was made to upgrade the fire panel system in the courthouse. She stated that they were made aware that the current system has reached its end of life. Johnson Control said they can no longer support the current panels, and if something breaks or malfunctions, the county will be required to replace the panels. This would be an emergency repair and would be more costly. Also approved last night for the Land Conservation Department to apply for and accept a 2025 joint allocation grant from the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection and Wisconsin DNR in the amount not to exceed $277,000. For the Richland County Public Works Committee to apply for and accept grants from the DNR's County Snowmobile Trail AIDS Program for the purpose of maintenance and grooming of state snowmobile trails in Richland County on an annual basis. Employees at an Eastside Madison Starbucks are getting ready for a union vote. Barista Emily Eads says this has been a years-long effort. She wants her fellow employees to have better benefits and working conditions. Starbucks agreed last month to start paying out credit card tips to union stores, start offering more benefits, and to take part in full collective bargaining.
Bailey Paint and Decorating reminds you that the perfect color should be enjoyed for years to come. Extraordinarily durable Benjamin Moore paint and exterior stain ensure exactly that. Bailey Paint and Benjamin Moore know that getting the right product is the secret of success. Bailey Paint and Decorating ensures you have the right color and products and offers the best paint you can buy in Benjamin Moore paint products. Bailey Paint and Decorating, Court Street, downtown Richland Center, your Benjamin Moore headquarters.
A high of 35 today with lots of sunshine. Tonight, a few clouds and cold conditions, a low of 17. Thursday, partly sunny and 38. Thursday night, 1 to 4 inches of snow possible and a low of 27. And Friday, 39 with another inch or so expected in the morning. Yesterday's high, well, it was a chilly day, especially with that northwest wind out there. We had a high of 57 degrees. This morning, we were at 43 at midnight. The temp, though, has continued to drop to the current mark. The air is calm, and it is 28 degrees.
We are so happy to say that we have welcomed Marshfield Furniture to our store. Corton, Maine just got a little bit better. Exceptional furniture uniquely suited to your taste and lifestyle is a result of their passion for craftsmanship, quality, and excellence. With 120 fabric options and 48 leather options, they create custom furniture to fit your style and home. So many different collections to choose from, we just know there is something for everyone. Only at Corton, Maine in downtown Richland Center, open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and 9 to noon on Saturdays.
It's always truck month at Jones Chevrolet in Richland Center. We've got trucks, regular cab, double cab, and crew cabs, custom, LT, LTZ or High Country, Duramax, Turbomax 5.3 and 6.2 motors. See the inventory, including 30 pre-owned trucks at JonesChev.com. Schedule a test drive, schedule service, chat with a representative, and get a value for your trade-in. Whether it's our body shop, parts, service, or sales, Jones Chevrolet Richland Center is proud to be your Chevy truck headquarters for over 100 years. Chevrolet, together, let's drive.
Sports Time is sponsored by the Richland Hospital, specializing in rural health care since 1924, making a difference by caring, educating, and healing. And also sponsored by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. Our first spring sports scores of the year. And the Brewers get ready for the real deal. We'll have those stories and more in a moment.
Richland Hospital was recently recognized with a 5-star rating for patient experience. Patients were surveyed by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services on numerous aspects of their care experience, including how attentive their nurses were, the cleanliness of the facility, and how well they understood what their plan of care would be after they left the hospital. A 5-star rating is the highest score possible. Thank you, Richland area community, for trusting us with your care.
Yesterday, a few high school softball games were played. It was Iowa Grant over Dodgeville, 7-5. Waterloo got the win against River Valley, 14-3. Hillsboro, 4-3 over Viroqua Youth Initiative. Mineral Point, 12-0 over Pecatonica. And Potosi-Cassville beat Darlington by a score of 10-0. Southwestern, 16-11 over Scales Mound. A few more teams will be venturing out on Thursday on the area spring sports schedule. Rookie Jackson Churio is set to become the youngest Brewer player to start an opening day in 50 years. He's 20 years old and would also become the third youngest position player to start on opening day since 1900. Robin Yount made history when he was just 18 years old when he first started a Major League Baseball game. Churio is expected to play mostly center field since he won a Minor League Gold Glove Award last year. This spring he is hitting .286 with 8 runs scored and 3 runs batted in while going 14 for 49. He will be the 6th youngest Milwaukee player to appear in any game and the youngest since 19-year-old Gary Sheffield in 1988. Churio didn't play in yesterday's 8-5 Brewer win over the Cleveland Guardians. Milwaukee is off today. They'll play San Francisco on Thursday. Elsewhere yesterday, Arizona beat the Cubs 4-1. The Mets 3-1 over St. Louis. St. Louis also beat Miami 11-10 on a split squad day. Boston 5-2 over Tampa Bay. Baltimore 13, Toronto 8. Oakland and Texas tied at 7. The Badgers prepare for their upcoming game in the first round of the NCAA tournament. And preparing for that, Wisconsin's Shucky Hepburn has a knack for playing his best basketball when the lights are the brightest. He didn't expect to have to wait this long to return to the NCAA after getting hurt. He injured his ankle early in an NCAA tournament game a couple of years ago to Iowa State. Hepburn finally gets a second chance in March Madness when number 23 Wisconsin faces James Madison Friday in Brooklyn. Here is Coach Greg Gard of the Badgers.
You know, you get to this point in time, you know that anybody left is a really good team, and we obviously have learned that over the last 48 hours with James Madison. You know, they caught everybody's attention day one of the season with winning at Michigan State, which was well-deserved. They were really good in that game, and they've had a phenomenal year.
Wisconsin women's coach Marissa Mosley says her team's berth in the WNIT shows the program is headed in the right direction. The Badgers went 13-16 this season. They're about to take part in the postseason for the first time in 13 years. UW gets a bye in the first round of the tournament. Mosley's team will meet the winner of Illinois-Chicago at Southern Indiana, a game that will be played on Thursday. And former Packer wide receiver Devontae Adams says it's tough to lose his teammate Josh Jacobs, but he's offering the running back his good wishes as he moves to Green Bay. On Instagram last week, Adams posted, "Go be great, my boy," in a message to Jacobs. In his five-year NFL career, Jacobs has rushed for 5,545 yards and 46 touchdowns, fumbling only once in the last 2 years. He's been named an All-Pro twice. I'm Phil Nee with sports.
Ellis Tractors are a great tractor at a great price. Hi, this is Rick Homesteader Store. Let an Ellis Tractor do all those jobs that need to get done. They make tractors from 21 to...
People were really concerned about their food and where it was coming from.
That was some activity that they could do. And they weren't in their house. They weren't cooped up. They could get out and do that. So it's just been a wonderful experience. And I would, if any community out there that wants to get one started, just contact us. And we'd be more than happy to come out and tell you what we did, what our pitfalls were, what our successes have been. And then, you know, get started. So we would love to help any community get started.
When's your first Brat Fry? Do you have that on the schedule yet?
Do we have that on the schedule yet?
It's got to be coming up.
I think there's one in, the first Brat Fry that for a fundraiser. I was thinking of the social activities. We got one scheduled for social. Our first Brat Fry is June 8th at Prem's. And then we've got another one on July 13th and another one on August 17th. And September 7th, I believe, is the last one. So there's four Brat Fries scheduled. And then we've got the ice cream stand at the art fair. So don't leave the art fair without stopping at our ice cream stand.
It's good ice cream.
Yeah. Cedar Crest ice cream. And it's on the corner of Lexington and Jefferson, right in the middle of the art fair. So that was a big hit last year. Mm-hmm. I guess it's a big hit probably every year, but this is our third year doing it this year.
Yeah.
So we've learned a few things over the last 3 years, but... So don't forget to stop at that. So
we can't wait to have you back because we did last year. And I think that, Marlon, that's kind of when you talk about the success, you know, we have you back in July or August. It's going to be pretty exciting.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yep. Phil, I have a question for you. Do you have a garden?
We do. Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know that I help a lot. I usually help put up trellises and things like that. But my wife runs a daycare, so that's part of the little project with the young ones. They come out and they plant some flowers and plant some seeds. And
excellent. Yes. Yeah. Getting kids involved is really, I think, an important thing to do.
Absolutely.
I think that's been one of the joys we've had with the community garden is when we got the Busy Bees program started. And those little ones, they get so excited. And they only have a 2x4 bed to plant. Well, they want to stick 7 or 8 plants in there, you know. They don't have any concept about, well, the tomato's going to grow really big and the cucumber's going to grow really big and you're not going to have a lot of room for your cabbage and your carrots and your lettuce. But who cares? They're just so excited. And they love getting over there and checking to see if their produce has come in. And I remember so many times kids will, look, Miss Rosalyn, I've got a tomato. I've got a tomato. And then, one year, one little boy dug his potatoes up, and he had a potato that was probably the size, bigger than a softball. It was huge. It was a huge potato. And he's holding this, and his face is just brimming. It's so great to see them. And you know that's going to stick with them their whole life.
Yeah.
And you hope that makes them gardeners down the road.
Right. So. It revitalizes us, though, when we see the excitement, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Actually, that potato story, I was there and saw that potato, and I was jealous. It was a beautiful...
Yeah, it was gorgeous.
How did you grow a potato that large?
Probably have some people take them to the fair, too, right? So you could do that, too.
We encourage that, but I don't know that anybody has. We had one gal that was growing dahlias to take to the school fair this year, but I don't think she took them. I think she took something from home, but her dahlias were just beautiful this year. She should have taken them.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So with the busy bees, I think we had 26 or...
28.
28, excuse me, 28. And we do run an educational program along with the gardening itself. So, you know, they get a chance to learn a little bit about some of the bugs that are out there and a little bit about soil and adequate watering and a little bit about just botany, plants, and how they grow and so forth. So it's a really fun... And I think it's done in a way that is a lot of fun for everybody.
Yes.
And so we get good reviews from both the kids and the parents.
Do they get information from the school then for busy bees?
Or? We're just about to send out that information to parents. We have a meeting today, in fact, of the committee. First choice is the kids that were there last year. So they get contacted first. So then we know how many open spots we have. Once we hear back from them. So then now we'll know today how many open spots we have, and then I can broadcast out to the community that we've got 15 or 20 open spots or whatever we do have. We don't want a lot of people, how do I want to say this? We want to know how many we've got coming back because we don't want to have to turn away people if, you know, we happen to get a lot. So we want to know just exactly how many we've got room for. There's just a small number of us volunteering, and we make sure that we can get as many kids in as we have to. So if we have to go over, I think our limit is 26. Well, we had 28 last year. So if we can get them in and we feel comfortable with getting them in, we can get them in. But so we will be posting that information out on Facebook real soon, and then we can contact us, and we can send them the registration information.
Great.
And go from there. So there will be posters on the school website, the community page, probably next week. So, yeah, it'll be exciting to see how many we've got. So I know we've had some attrition. I know that a couple of kids, probably four, are moving up to the junior gardener program. And the junior gardener program is from grades 5 through 12. And they're for those kids that are ready to move up and to do more independent work. And it's totally independent. We treat them like adult gardeners and help them out whenever we can. And we'll give them a mentor if they need it. Last year, I think all the parents of all the 9 kids that were junior gardeners, the parents said, "I'll mentor." And so we didn't have to worry about that. But it was great to see the parents and grandparents here out helping their junior gardeners learn how to garden and all that information that they gathered. And that the quality time that they had together as parent and child was irreplaceable.
That means that the River Valley Community Gardens will live on in the next generation, hopefully, too.
Hopefully,
right?
We hope.
Anything else anybody would like to add this morning?
Well, I should plug the RV Nature Journaling class that's coming up on March 30th. This is a new thing that's being started. It's being facilitated by Kay Baylink, and some of you know her. It runs from 9 to 10:30 on Saturday mornings, and it'll be a weekly program. So most of it is observation, and just come to the, we're using it as at the gardens because we figured that was a perfect spot to start. And you just come in and observe like the development of the apple trees. You know, you can watch them bud and then flower, and you can trace their whole life cycle through the production of an apple. Kay has done some beautiful work. She's a wonderful artist. And she'll be showing on that first day, she'll be showing some of the stuff that she's done for the journals she's kept. You don't have to be an artist to do it. It's just a matter of coming in and just watching and being observant. And one of the things that nature journaling does is it creates a curiosity about how things are growing. I know in Kay's journal, she showed me some of hers, and she'd be drawing a bird, and she'd start wondering, well, now I wonder what they eat, and I wonder what their nest looks like. And so then she would go back and do some research on it. So and then she would put those little notes in her journal, and so she's got that to look back on. She did a calendar. It doesn't have to be that extensive even. She did a calendar of the month of December, and each day she went out either to her garden or to the community garden or around the community someplace or out to the farm, and she drew just something that she noticed that day. And she drew a picture of the fox that was living under our straw pile. She drew chickadees on the trees, and I didn't even know we had chickadees over there. I don't see them during the day, you know, during the summer, I don't see them over there. But when the quiet of the winter, and she was over there observing, and we had chickadees and blue jays, and, you know, so it's just nice to be able to see that. So it's the program is open for all ages. We do ask that if a child wants to come, then an adult accompanies them. It's sponsored in part by the River Valley Arts, and they donated some money for supplies. So it's free, so people are more than welcome to come, and that'll start on March 30th from 9 to 10:30. If you can't come that day, come the next Saturday. So it's going to be ongoing on Saturdays, and we'll post on Facebook. So that's the first thing that's coming up. And then in May 11th, we've got the Garden Basics class, which is Doug teaches that. And it's kind of for beginning gardeners, but we welcome all gardeners. And he'll show how to plant. He's got some tricks that he'll show. He's got a PVC pipe with a funnel on it that he'll drop like beans down through the funnel into the PVC pipe into the row. And what a neat trick that is. And he's got some other tricks that he shows.
For those of us that are getting old and don't want to be down on hands and knees hand planting, that's a really nice option.
Wow. Have you patented that yet or not?
No. And in fact, I learned that from another gardener years ago. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So
we got a broad fork this year, which is new to us. And that a lot of people that do no-till will use a broad fork for that. And so we're going to demonstrate that usage. When one of the things that happens when experienced gardeners come to this Gardens Basic program is a lot of times they will share what works for them.
Right.
So we pick up from these experienced gardeners of different hints and things to help. So that works out wonderful for us, too.
I think that's been well received each year. So that's just one of the things that we do. I wanted to mention one thing in passing as well, that we have volunteers at the garden who actually aren't gardeners necessarily, but want to be part of our community. And so we encourage that if there are people that are hearing this and say, wow, it'd be kind of fun to go out, but I've got my own garden. Well, you could still come and volunteer and be part of the community.
Sure. Even if you had your own garden. Pardon? You know, even if you had your own garden, you could probably come out.
Well, and even if you don't have your own garden and you're a retired farmer or farmer's wife, you know, or you used to farm when you were growing up and had a garden at mom's or grandma's, and you'd really like to get in and help, but you don't want to do the gardening, because right now there's a lot of CSA programs out there you can get your food from, you know, and it's great. But we could use that expertise and those people that want to do that. So, or even for just to get out of the house and get some exercise to volunteer and come over. We don't work you very hard.
No, we don't.
It is, and we try to get it organized so it fits in with your schedule. And once you know what to do, you can come over at your own leisure and help us out. So. Yeah.
great. I appreciate all your enthusiasm, too. Again, we're thinking about spring this morning here on the morning show. Yes. Come back and see us again and give us an update later on in the summer, maybe.
Sounds like a plan. Yeah. July or August.
We'll
give you a holler.
All right. The door is open. River Valley Community Gardens, Rose Ellen Schneider, Doug Rouse, and Marlon Tafts on this part of the morning show.
Many people aren't aware that Richland County has an organization similar to Big Brothers Big Sisters. For 35 years, Kinship of Richland County has made hundreds of matches between carefully screened adults and local children who need some extra attention. I'm Michelle Nolan-Karras, the director of Kinship. Occasionally, relationships don't work out, but it's amazing how often they do. Having a mentor can improve a child's self-confidence and help them succeed at school and in life. The mentor benefits from these matches, too. Often they last for years and continue into adulthood. If you would like to become a volunteer or refer a child, please contact us at 608-475-2886 or email us at kinshiprc@gmail.com. Donations to Kinship can be mailed to P.O. Box 51, Richland Center, Wisconsin. Your gift is tax deductible and much appreciated.
You are listening to WRCE 1450 AM, W299 CD, Richland Center.